Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, good afternoon. It's good to have you with us today. Bruce Musselman will be with us here shortly. But in the meanwhile, just wanted to make a couple of announcements. I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and I just want to let you know that you can visit Bruce's website at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And if you go there, you can find more information out about Bruce Musselman, about his ministry. You can also listen to some past programs there at whereisgodsword.com. And you can also find some other materials there. There's the article that Bruce wrote some years ago entitled Correcting the King James Bible. And that's probably one of the things that really, in a sense, got him noticed on this issue. And you can find that there at whereisgodsword.com. There's also some other things there, Bruce teaching on the history of the Bible and the Baptists. And there's some of Bruce singing on there. And also there's reference or links to some previous publications that we have that Bruce has referenced from time to time. You can find that at whereisgodsword.com. And we'll be joined by Bruce here in a few minutes, but let me give you out those telephone numbers. If you've got a question for Bruce Musselman concerning Bible translations, Bible history, and how we got our Bible, things of that nature, you can give us a call here today, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and you can ask your question about the Bible or about Bible translation issues, and it's kind of impressive when you listen to Bruce because you know he knows the history. He can give you he can give you the dates. He can give you all this information just about off the top of his head. But we'll get Bruce in here in just a moment, get him going. And but we're glad that you've tuned in today. And like I said, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And you can ask Bruce your questions about the Bible or current events or Bible or Bible history. I got mixed up there for a minute with my program that I have here tomorrow on Friday. Live with Pastor Al, Sunday night, late night, live with Pastor Al. But I think Bruce is just about ready to join us here. And Bruce, welcome in today.
Well, it's good to be here.
Good to have you here.
It's good to be here, I'll tell you. When you get to my age, it's good to be anywhere. And it's good. We've been doing this for, I guess, what, 36 years or something like that? Been a long time anyway.
When did you first go on the radio?
I think it was somewhere around 1980.
Wow. So you've been out for a little while with this, and I was telling our listeners about your article that you wrote some time ago, Correcting the King James Bible. How'd you happen to write that?
That's an interesting question. How did I... I just got concerned about that subject, you know, and... I heard people doing it, and then what really got me into this is I was reading Luke 2:33, and I've talked about that before, and it called Joseph Jesus' father in the new ASV. And when I read that, and then I looked at my Greek New Testament, it said the same thing, and I thought, where in the world did this come from? The King James says Joseph and his mother. And so I thought, I got to find out. And so that led me into a 30-year investigation. And I've read every book, pro and con, and I still do on this subject. But one of the things that recently I learned, though, is, you know, the other side, they have actually run themselves into a ditch because they're trying to find the originals. And they finally said, I guess we'll never know what the original said. But if we go by what the Bible says about the Word of God, then we have absolute certainty, because The Bible tells us where God's word is. It says it's quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. And every revival that's taken place in the Western world always comes through the King James. You can pray for revival until, I say, hell freezes over, and it's not going to come unless you're using a King James Bible. And I could, on another programs, I talked about the different revivals, starting with Whitfield, and then the people that were saved through him, and all the way up to Chuck Smith, who died. He had the hippie revival out in California, but all of them were King James, including D.L. Moody, Charles Spurgeon, Finney, and it just goes on and on. God's told us where his word is. And even in the counterfeit Bibles, it tells us what the word of God is, and it all points to the King James Bible. You know, somebody said this week, I think I read this or heard this, they said the King James is outdated. Well, according to recent polls, it's interesting how this outdated Bible, that on the recent polls, people that read the Bible every day are reading the King James more than all the rest of them put together. And the word of God liveth and abideth forever. It's a living thing that can reproduce itself. And, you know, could you give us that verse? I like that verse about the Bereans.
Oh, the Bereans were nobler than those in Thessalonica. Yes, I'll get you that in just a minute. And, you know, when we think about that, the reason was, of course, that they searched the scriptures, right? And what
right.
Did they have the originals?
No, of course not. Timothy said, the Bible says, from a child thou hast known the scriptures, 1 Timothy 3:15, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. And you know, it's amazing that in that verse 15, it says, Timothy has known the scriptures from a child. Did he have the originals? That was about 1,500 years before that when they were given. And then it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then they teach in these schools that that's referring to the originals. You know, and so the whole thing is so mixed up. Then they say no translation is inspired. Well, you really believe that Jesus was preaching in Greek? I mean, when he died on the cross, he was using Aramaic, and the books say that in Galilee they spoke Aramaic. So the Greek text is a translation of the Aramaic. You think Peter, James, and John were experts in Greek? You know, it's just... everything they say is just upside down, mixed up. Somebody says when people mess with the Word of God, they King James Bible, God messes with their brain. They can't think straight.
I heard somebody, well, in the Bible, remember you're talking about, did Peter and James and John, all of them know Greek? One of the criticisms leveled against them was in the book of Acts, where they said they're ignorant fishermen, I believe.
Yeah, they were ignorant and unlearned men.
Yeah, so they weren't known to be Greek scholars. And Acts 17:11, the Bible says these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, that's the Bereans, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so.
Yeah, the reason I wanted to talk about those verses is because they searched the scriptures. They even checked out Paul, you know, to see if what was said was so. Now, we don't tell people here in this program, you just believe it because we said so. I am interested in getting people to investigate the subject, not just read one or two books. You know, I mean, now, particularly I'm talking to preachers. You know what I'm afraid of? It's going on. And sometimes when I show this, it seems like on this subject, all reason and logic has gone out the door because when I show them some scripture verses and people can just slough it off. It's like I heard they did a little test case. And, you know, they asked this one boy, they said, well, what's 2 + 2? But before he came into class, they had the class say 5. You know, so he comes in there and everybody says 5. Well, then he wants to say 5 too, you know, even though 2 + 2 = 4, see? And they found out people think like that. And I think people today just think like that. And one of the things, they start out this way, scholarship and science, and when they say that, it's like the herd snorts 3 times and runs violently over the cliff. I mean, why not? I'm interested. Just don't accept what we say. We say check it out. And, you know, there's a lot of books out there, but I see the other side somehow in their mentality. It's just like the Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, they come to your door and they want you to read their literature. And so you want to give them literature. Well, they don't want to do that. They want you to read their literature, but don't read, your literature, see? And I call them the chaos cult or the deist. You know what? That's what they are today, the Greek departments. They're deist. The deists believe that, particularly when it comes to the Bible, the deists believe that God put the whole thing together, then took off and went to sleep or something, left it all. So they think the Bible's almost like the same way. He just made it. And, you know, here's where it's really hypocritical lying, because they'll say most of them still talk about the biblical authority, and they'll talk about the Bible being true and all the rest of it, you know. But when it comes to it, they're talking about the originals. Then if you ask them where that is, they'd have to admit that no, they don't have it. Nobody ever has had all the originals, you know. When God gave the Ten Commandments, what happened to them? They got busted. That was the originals. And when Jeremiah got it, he was supposed to put it in the Euphrates River. And then when that one king got the originals, he put it in the fire, and God just remade it again, see? So that originals talk is a bunch of hogwash. I mean, that's baloney. But God said he would preserve his words, and not only— He didn't just say it once. It's taught from beginning to end in the Bible, because what's good of a perfect Bible in the beginning if we don't have it today? And they'll say, well, man messes everything up. Sure, that's true. But our God is so powerful. The Lord Jesus is so powerful that he runs the stars within a fraction of a second. We tell time by Greenwich, England. You mean to say he can't keep his words? He doesn't have the power to keep his words and give it to us? And not only did he say that, but he told us where his words were. And the Bible, there's more passages, I believe, that tell us where the word of God is than tell us about prophecies telling us about Jesus coming in the first place. For instance, Jesus says in one place, he says that, I pray not for the world, but for those that thou hast given me out of the world, for I have given them, these are the people he's praying for, the words that thou hast given me. Jesus said he's given us the words. And he's not talking just to the apostles. He's talking to those that are saved out of the world. And he's given us his words today. And my sheep, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And there's so many passages, more passages pointing in prophecy to the King James Bible than pointing to Jesus coming the first time.
You know, you're talking about this verse here in Acts 17:11, and about how they received the word there. I was looking at something here. I was comparing that, because you talk about the different versions and how they distort and destroy the word of God. And let me give you two changes that are made here, and tell me how you react to these. Of course, as we said in Acts 17:11, it says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And I noticed that in the New International Version, they changed that. They said they received the message with great eagerness.
Is that, see, they don't believe,
meaning difference to you?
Sure, because they don't believe that God gave the words and kept the words. See, that's why a lot of people can slough it over when we point out false words, because they don't realize that God makes great emphasis in the Bible on the very words. The words of the Lord are pure words. Silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. And this is just repeated in so many ways. God gave us the word. So since they don't believe that, they just change it to the message. Well, the message is made up of words, but if you pervert the words, then you're not going to get the right message. For instance, it says, in the King James says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for is the power of God unto salvation. So a number of these modern translations says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Well, they got all kinds of gospels out there, you know. But it's the gospel of Christ that's important.
You know, we were talking about that. I thought it's kind of interesting, because not only did they change word to message, but instead of having readiness of mind, it just went with eagerness. And when you look at the next change that they made in the NIV, it says they examined the scriptures, whereas the King James Bible says they searched the scriptures. And, you know, there's a difference between searching and examining, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. When I'm listening to these other versions, I think, boy, the meaning's changed. You know, I probably mentioned last week, but they had this, some kind of Aesop fable or something, and they talked about this king that was wearing, they said he had a beautiful robe, but it was invisible or something, and everybody was talking, tell him how wonderful it was, but he was
the emperor's new clothes.
Yeah, he didn't have any clothes. And finally, the little kid says, look at him, he doesn't have any clothes on. But you know, what is going on in evangelicalism today? They talk about the authority of the Bible, but the Muslims, see, they don't have clothes on because the Muslims in Saudi Arabia are saying, you got a bunch of different Bibles that disagree. And Muslims have brought it up to me over and over again. I mean, all reason and rationality has gone out the window. You know, it's just so crazy. But, you know, it's partly that group thinking. And so, you know, the group thinks that way. And if Jesus says, you love the honor that comes from one another, therefore you cannot hear my words, W-O-R-D-S. You can't hear them because you love the honor that comes from one another. It's not politically correct, or what would you say it today? Religiously correct to say that we actually have the words of God today. Now, you can talk like that, but when it comes right down to it, you're supposed to. You know, what we've been saying all the time, you look in the book of Jeremiah, it says over and over again, don't go down to Egypt. Don't go down to Egypt. And the King James translators, they use the ancient manuscripts, 99% of them, with many different translations, because God gave the gift of tongues to the apostles so that they would give his words in many different languages. What was it, 13 languages that was mentioned in Acts? And so he gave his words to the apostles, but then he gave the translations to the apostles. And these ancient translations came down, and the King James translators had them on their desk. And so 99% of these agreed with one another. But what do we have today? We have 1%, the Vatican manuscript, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, and sometimes another few other, you know, it's thrown in, but mainly Vaticanus, Sinaiticus, which disagree in 3,000 words. And so they, no wonder they can't find the original. So the texts are always changing. New ASV is 23rd edition of Nestle's. Nestle's originally put out by the Jesuits. NIV is the 24th edition. I think they're up to, 26th edition now. They're changing it all the time. And the underlying text, every one of these versions has an underlying text. They all talk like it's one text, the Greek text. I talked to one guy and he says, well, I believe in the original Greek, you know, and because he heard I believe the King James is the word of God. So, well, I says he had studied Greek 4 years at Bob Jones University. So I says, well, which Greek are you talking about? End of conversation.
No. Absolutely. No,
he doesn't even know what, and they really don't teach that much either, you know. And if I found somebody, you know, that I like to challenge him sometime, you know, to a discussion or debate. But it's interesting, like on some of these programs, they'll have these discussions. What's that lady that's on? I can't think of her name now. She's on at 5 o'clock.
I'm not really sure, good. But you're talking about discussions. Let me give out the phone number again real quick in case somebody does want to discuss this with you. If you're listening and you want to call and talk to Bruce Musselman right now, he is live, and you can give him a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question or a challenge for Bruce on this issue, or been talking about Acts 17:11 today and some of the issues there. And Bruce, you were talking about the changes here, and a thought occurred to me. You know what they've kind of done when they've changed in Acts 17:11, when they changed searching to examining and readiness of mind to eagerness? Makes them sound like the in Athens, just a little bit below, where they were on Mars Hill, you know, wanting to learn some strange new thing. They were eager to hear, and they were willing to, you know, examine it. But examining and being eager is a lot different than being ready for the truth and searching to make sure that it is true.
I think this scripture verse where it says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And Jesus said, thy word is truth. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, W-O-R-D-S, not just the message, my words shall not pass away.
Mm-hmm.
The universal language today is the English language. And, you know, the symbol in England is the lion. And the Antichrist, when he comes, it says he's going to speak with the mouth of a lion. So he's going to be speaking English. And so God gave his word. And it's interesting, you know, the last prophecy was given before Christ came. There's a 400-year gap. You know, it's about 400 years, isn't it, since the King James came out?
Yeah, 1611 to 2011 was 400 years, exactly.
Yeah. And so, you know, just like there's 400 years, I think, the first coming of Christ, we're getting ready for the second coming of Christ with all the signs and everything that are out there, you know. So, but thank God, the Bible says, in thy word do I trust, not in man. Cursed is everyone that putteth confidence in man. I'm glad today we have a Bible in the King James that we can trust in. The Bible says the word of God liveth and abideth forever. And Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. And it's just interesting. We tell every week all the translations we can't get to. I think it's up to 200 translations that come and gone. It lasts about as long as the advertising last, or as long as the professor in college can tell his students how wonderful his translation is. And this one just goes right on. It never leaves, because God's word liveth and abideth forever. So you can trust in that. And you know, God's word tells us, you know what, Jesus makes this statement. He says that, repentance and remission of sin should be preached in my name. So many people don't understand that. But repentance means you're willing to turn from your sin to God. And it says that when you do this, and to Jesus Christ, and when you do this remittance, when you pay for your groceries, you get a little piece of paper. That's a remittance. It says that your groceries have been paid for. And if they stop you at the door, you show that paper, and that shows that your groceries have been paid for. That's your remittance. So Jesus says, repentance for remission of sins should be preached in my name. He is Lord Jesus Christ. You receive him as Lord and Savior, the one that died for your sins. And you receive him as Lord. He's the boss. He's God. When you do that, repenting and receiving him as Lord and Savior, at that point, your sins have been paid for. And so many people don't understand that. You'll never meet your sin. The Bible says he's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You'll go to heaven without any record you ever sinned. This is the message we need to tell the world. This is the message of the King James Bible. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And isn't that wonderful?
Now, you're talking earlier in the program about most people read the King James Version of the Bible. One of the latest statistics that I've been able to find, this is as of 2017, January 2017, King James Version, when somebody reads the Bible, 31%, the next contender is the NIV at 13%. It far outstrips all the other Bible versions. The English Standard that's being popularized by some people, only 9%. King James Version still reigns supreme. As you said, God's people know God's word.
Yeah, and it says, a stranger will they not follow. That's why the rest of them disappear. But thank God we have eternal life. And the Bible says we're saved, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And he will confirm you blameless unto the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And that's in our King James Bible. Well, God bless you. Thanks for listening. And you have a wonderful day.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.